Good morning, it is October 14th. I'm testing two new things. I have a microphone that appears badass. I mean, it was overwhelming how clear it picks up. It's a GoPro, or a Go Mic. Samsung Go Mic. Portable plug and play, but high quality for $40 on Amazon. So my hope is that I can be playing music in the background lightly and talk over it, because there's sometimes that that's going to be important for me to contextually get my point across. The reason I'm playing Macklemore and this song just happened to be on, but I thought it would be cool to have some music. Lamar Odom was found unconscious and is fighting for his life today. I have goosebumps that run through the head to my toes when I share anything that's authentic or powerful for me and that's happening physiologically and biologically to me right now as I'm talking to you. I am Jared, and I identify as an addict in recovery. I've been warned to not be so transparent this early in my process, because there can be hiccups in a process. And you know, if I were to go my own way, and companies can make judgments and all of that, but it's important for me to be transparent. It helps me to be accountable. It helps to remind me who I am and that it's not a bad thing. And I also realize and have to recognize that for me, Jared Ritter, that the pain that I've put others. Music, deflation of tears. What I would like to do eventually, I'm early in the game, and the reason I'm not early in the game, but I'm re-early in the game. I'll tell my story on the site Musings for Recovery when I get it up and going. But today's podcast is going to be very specific. Emotional about what's happening because I care for Lamar as a person. We spend time in our groups thinking quietly about the addict still suffering, because every day, almost every minute of every day, somebody dies. I'll share a little bit about my short journey in the scheme of things. I have buried, and when I say buried, I mean went to the funeral of many people my age or younger, and most of these happened a few years back or 10 years back. I'm just about to turn 42 this week, so 30, 32, 35, 26, it's a serious thing, and there's a lot of misconceptions about it, particularly I think in Lamar's case when he's found at a brothel. I can just hear the news media blips, you know, he gets what he deserves, and listen, it's not how do I say this delicately? Without being in the beginning, I think people that were suffering from something, and again, I said this in an earlier podcast, it all centers in our mind. Lamar's story is very easy for me to assess and analyze. Father, a heroin addict, actively still not in a good place, no role model. sweet guy, extra sensitive. Every addict that I know in recovery is one of the most brilliant minds that I've ever met. Breaking down every stereotype of what you know to be true, particularly in some types of the world where we face a stigma. So I could never fully come out because I was afraid of what you would think of me. Backstreet Boys cover. I don't know if the music's coming through, but if it is, it's cool. Hold on. Let's go to something that I like. I've got several. This is my Solgave Love playlist. Well, for me, I wasn't ready to come out because I wasn't done. And I had a brief conversation with a healer friend, a spiritual friend yesterday about PTSD and childhood trauma. And I don't want to cast blame, and this is not what that's about, but I have to understand some periods of my life where fear was the pervasive feeling and emotion that I felt as a young child for a very short window of time. But that short window of a time, science is showing us, it's not... this is real data, it's not making shit up, affects us. And to deny that, which is what's happening, blindly, just let it go, or instant salvation, go to church and things are okay, it doesn't work that way. People with PTSD or have suffered some sort of trauma, meaning a state of fear, that is, it immobilizes oneself, and there are biological symptoms, all of which I have, and I've been diagnosed by psychiatrists with PTSD, but I never wanted, I was too proud to be like, you know, to own that, and I don't know that that's important to even say, but I had an awareness shift yesterday, and again, I shared it with my wife, Sunava, and that little boy again, happy tears for me. This podcast will be authentic because my story is very real to me. My only way out in November of 2011 was suicide, and so I decided to use, and that was a relapse after 3 years, which led to a marital separation, which led to isolation, which led to the worst few months that I had experienced in 10 years. But anyway, this was supposed to be about Lamar. I cannot help but weave in my story at times. Because I'm on the other side. I'm on the other side, and it's a good feeling, and I feel such compassion for families, wives, children. You have to understand that I am not insensitive to the family part of it. In fact, I'm trying to be an advocate for my wife to learn more, and that's a role that I would like to take on, and one day come to schools and talk about my story, because I had a pretty good childhood. I had a couple of years that really affected me, but it doesn't have to own me, you know? We've all had those years. I don't want to come across as special or unique. That's part of the battle of people that struggle with addiction, is we feel eternally unique. And we often are in ways, but you cannot feel that way, or you don't feel part of. And that's why the community is so special, or reconnecting to nature, as data is showing, if the 12-step model doesn't work for you. And it's not for everybody. Their nature and reconnecting relationships and animals and everything that my wife and I dreamed of with the Solgave Project, I see as one day, I see it. I wanted to help at-risk youth and addicts. And you know what? I wasn't being fully authentic yet because my wife had just met me and we drank responsibly for most of the time. She's got some videos to show that I clearly can take things too far. I take everything too far. That's who I am. I am an addict. And it's okay. Because again, I want to break down the stigma of how some could call it a type A personality, and for whatever reason, their childhood or their trauma or their path or their conditions or their mind led them to be marathon runners. You know what I mean? I have a good friend who's a lawyer that I think his mind relates to my mind in a deep way, and he's a successful lawyer in an Ironman triathlon, and I'm me, you know, a beautiful mess. So it's channeling that energy appropriately, and there's a variety of ways to do that. Okay, 11 minutes. I don't ever want these to go past 20. Lamar Odom is a person who is clinging on to life today. And I would just challenge you to stay in a space of compassion and know that Chloe and his family and his children are all grieving, and let's just grieve with them. Whether you believe this is a neurological misfiring, stuff that's tied to trauma, or a literal disease of the brain that has a wonderful solution, and it's a complex thing. And that's why I wanted to start musings on recovery, because I think there's a lot of things to bring to the surface. Just my version, my perspective, particularly as somebody who's not had an easy way about it. Since I'm somebody who needs to express, to feel creative and to be artistic, I've decided to come out and... Yeah, as I said, a couple people warned me to not, and many applauded me to doing so. So I, in the end, I had to trust my gut. My gut said, you know what, I have nothing to lose. And I read an article about somebody who said the very same thing. It was about coming out as being gay, but his family knew, his coworkers knew, my family knows my story, my close friends know my story from the time I've been a child. My wife knows my story, God knows, my in-laws knows my story, the future owners of the business know my story, and anybody that sat down to have coffee with me knows my story, because I love stories. I want to know yours, and I love to share mine if I trust you enough to exchange those things. That's who I am. So today I want to caution reaction and judgment about where he was found in a brothel, and keep your mind open. I'm going to use this format and the website that will house these podcasts and articles that I find fascinating on musingsforrecovery.com. I have a logo, I have a domain. And I guess I'm going to just go ahead and out myself today. I was going to say that it was a friend of mine, wink, wink. It doesn't mean I'm living a perfect life, and it doesn't mean that I may not stumble again. But talking to my mentor last night when I was feeling really tired, and he said, you know, thank you for calling, but I know you're not going to. And that meant a lot to me, because he's the one that knows my consciousness more than anybody today. Way more than anyone, including my wife, because we've rarely talked the separation that's been painful because of how much hurt people that are affected on the other side are. Now, I'm not, another podcast for another day. We have cultural and all kinds of things that make our reunion difficult, but I love her dearly, and I certainly wounded her, and I'll have to make those wrongs right over time. And this song comes on at the right time. Never give up, guys. Stop the judgment. Realize that you yourself are imperfect. And if you believe you're not, I believe we all have a God within us. But if you claim to have a righteous sense of self that's above other people, I frankly don't want to spend a lot of time around you. It's why my closest friends are either deeply spiritual, or deeply moral, or searching for truth, or in recovery, because that's my tribe right now, and that's where I need to place myself around. Lamar Odom, you have my thoughts, you have my prayers, the family has my prayers. This is a battle I know well. I've watched you suffer. I know the separation from Chloe was not going to go well for you, because I'm living proof of that. I know you love her dearly, and I know she loves you dearly. I hope you make it. And if you don't, you know, Godspeed. Lamar lost two of his closest friends to this just within the last 2 months. He's had a tough time, man. His closest brother, his soul brother, his childhood friend, overdosed just a couple months ago. Guys, lean into compassion. See that this is these individual problems become societal problems. I shared an article about the housing situation. Most homeless people are addicts, and they don't get recovery under park benches or kicked out of their homes. So a couple cities have realized it cost $100,000 tax dollars to treat them. In a place like I went recently, that cost $20,000 tax dollars. That was just the footing of that bill, just to be quite honest. And, you know, there's other ways that those costs are there. So these communities have found places. I didn't need a home, but many do. Most do that come through there, because they've lost it all. I lost all my possessions, and for me, I lost my soul. I was stripped down to the bare beating heart in the air when I came back out. And I knew at that point I had to make a decision. Hold on 1 second. It's a great song, but I really, 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 really want this one. Because this is my anthem for Macklemore, who's also in recovery. Compassion, education, awareness. It's not black and white. I care for the families as much as the addicts. Keep an open mind and know that these people are doing the best they can with what they've got. And it's likely tied to abuse, childhood trauma, neglect, genetics, or a variety of other things. Isolation, disconnection from society, mental illness. And we need to do a better job of destigmatizing this. And that's why I am going to speak loudly about this thing that I know very well. I can claim a PhD in this topic. Thank you and have a good day. I'm going to finish out with this song. Working on leaving them. I love Basquiat. See, I study art. The greats weren't great because they're born, they could paint. The greats were great because they paint a lot. It's an American scheme. What? 80 on my SATs. This song means so much to me on so many levels because as a writer, I know what 10,000 hours is meaning. It takes 10,000 hours, they say, to become an expert at anything. But here we go, here we go. Same shit, different day, same struggle, same time slips through my knuckle. Beautiful about it, no light at the tunnel. For the people, passion before come comfortable. Raw, medicated heart, no substitute. Banging on tabletops, no substitute. I'm feeling better than ever, man, what is up with you? Scraping my knuckles, battling with some drug abuse. I lost another friend, got another call from a sister. Speak for the people to share that struggle too. Like they got some of the bruise. My only rehabilitation was the sweat, tears and blood went up in the booth. Or in my case, the pages I'm writing. Compassion, awareness. This is a global issue. Because what affects one of us affects us all. You're going to hear more from me on this. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.